gorgeous, darling, but is it art?
Having It All is a new group exhibition at Gus Fisher Gallery, composed of 9 international artists whose work has been pivotal in the reimagination of female subjectivity in art. The exhibition is showing select video and performance art by the likes of Anna Mendieta, Yoko Ono, Howardina Pendel, Pippa Lotti Rist, Martha Rosler, Krista Schatt, Janice Tanaka, Hannah Wilkie, and Nil Yata. Spanning the 1960s to 1990s, Having It All delves into the activism and identity politics associated with second wave feminism and its critics. I spoke to curator of contemporary art at Gus Fisher Gallery, Lisa Beauchamp, about the exhibition, her curation process, and the impact of these works on feminist politics as seen through a contemporary perspective.
The show is called Having It All, which to some might be a strange kind of title, but it's actually taken from a video by Martha Rosler, where she's flicking through the pages of Vogue magazine, and in a very kind of the wry, satirical kind of humour that she has in her work and in her performances. I really love the phrase because, you know, it speaks to how women are supposed or could have it all, you know, like they're meant to have everything. You know, you can live this lifestyle, this luxury lifestyle with a man and, you know, have loads of money, but also be a housewife and a working wife and all of this. So it kind of speaks to the kind of, I suppose, the debates that really feminist artists in the 70s, with that kind of emergence of second wave feminism, what they were kind of speaking to at that time. So the show really looks at, it's not a definitive kind of huge glossary of feminist art, and I kind of reject the need to do that because I think actually, you know, you could do this show 10 times over or more and show different artists. So, you know, so I think that's important to say that it's featuring 9 artists whose work we've selected because they bring an important dimension to thinking about the representation of women and bodies and, you know, particularly around identity politics. And as we look back on these works from a contemporary perspective, it's thinking about how does the debates that the work raises, what's the legacy? Are they still relevant? And what has changed? And what hasn't? And I think when you look at, I mean, it's all video work, it's all kind of video and mostly performance work, so documentation of performances from 1965 right through to 1997. I think when you look back on these works now, there is an enduring relevance that speaks to our current times. And that's what I'm really interested in, is the importance of this work when it was made and perhaps the similarity and differences in our context now. So we start with Martha Rosler, who I've said. So she was associated with the feminist art movement in the 70s, did these incredible performances, one of which was showing called Semiotics of the Kitchen, which was made in 1975. And then she's reading Vogue magazine and another work. And then we're showing, very lucky to be showing, a very seminal work by the late Anna Mendieta. So Anna Mendieta was a really phenomenal artist, a performance artist. She used her body a lot in her work, and she was also associated with the kind of earth art movement as well. So she worked a lot outside, in kind of natural surroundings, and it was very spiritual work that related to, she was Cuban, but because of the Cuban Revolution, her parents moved her to the US, and so a lot of her work is trying to reconnect with her homeland. So that's a very beautiful work. And then we have Hannah Wilkie, who is unfortunately no longer with us. She was a very important figure in feminist body art in the 70s and 80s, and used her body very centrally in her work. the purpose of kind of using her body was to kind of try and destabilize voyeurism, but she also came under attack by other feminists. So a big part of this show is looking at the divisions within feminism. And, you know, at the time it was perhaps seen as, it was criticized, you know, initially in the 70s or kind of later, saying, well, you know, this has been, there's lots of white middle-class women, you know, this isn't representative. So, yeah, it's looking at those kind of divisions, but also looking at work that was made by artists that within that context and what their work said about the context they were working in. So Howardena Pindle, who is a African-American artist, and her work, Free White and 21, speaks to her own and her mother's personal experience of growing up in the US and the similarities to today. It's really quite, quite shocking when you're listening to her experiences, and even she has commented that amazingly, to her amazement, her experiences are absolutely, you know, being reflected now, as we see in America and with their current politics. Then we have Yoko Ono. So Yoko Ono is, you know, an amazing artist who was initially part of the Fluxus art movement. And so we're including a work called Cut Piece. That was, she performed in 1965 in New York. So it's 60 years since she performed it in New York. She's now 92. And it very much is this enduringly important work that speaks to violence against women in the context when she made it. I mean, this is kind of, it's termed as proto-feminist, so it's kind of almost pre-feminist, but it's been really taken up as this important work for kind of feminist debates. And she made it in response to the bombings in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So you can read so much into this work, and it's already been such a popular work for visitors to kind of sit and watch. Nil Yalta, who's a Turkish artist, is now in her 80s, made really groundbreaking and quite controversial work early in the 70s, particularly being based in Turkey as well, and now in France. And works by Janice Tanaker, who's a wonderful moving image artist based in the US, Krista Schatt, who's a Canadian artist, and then Pippolotti Riss. So Pippolotti is a Swiss artist, so she's the youngest artist in the show, in her 60s. And her work is, I mean, it's really looking at the kind of legacies of that 70s feminism. So she's very inspired by some of those earlier artists in the show, and thinking about how, you know, you see that kind of humour and kind of playfulness in Pippolotti's, which you see in Martha Rosler's as well. So it's kind of thinking about, yeah, the legacies, but also the connections between these artists, even though perhaps they span like 20 years or so.
And you've definitely kind of touched on it, particularly just with that last comment there, but you were also mentioning before that you feel like this exhibition or type of exhibition, looking at this through this feminist lens, could be replicated many times with different artists. I guess with that, though, there's clearly a lot of thought that has gone into the artists that you have picked. What was your kind of curation process there?
Oh, no, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one to answer, because I feel like, you know, now I've curated this show, I feel like, oh, I could do another one and another one and another one, you know. I suppose it's kind of thinking about, you know, those really seminal works that have brought really different kind of topics to the fore. So, you know, Hannah Wilkie was so essential, and that kind of centering of her body, and that attempt to kind of destabilize voyeuristic viewing is perhaps very different to what, say, Martha Rosler did when she's bringing this kind of humor. So it, really the show is looking at different strategies for, that connect to, I suppose it's this feminist phrase, the personal is political, and how artists were working to kind of destabilize that kind of patriarchal kind of culture that arguably we're still in. And yeah, thinking about the connections between the works, but also them each bringing something different. And also we have limited space in the gallery, so, you know,
classic.
I could include, you know, loads and loads and loads. But yeah, Yoko Ono was probably the first work that was confirmed as a kind of central work, and then kind of ending with Pipilotti. So, you know, I suppose I start with a kind of framework and then build from that.
Gorgeous. And of course, this exhibition is showing select video and performance art. I guess, what role do you think that medium particularly played in the reevaluation of female subjectivity in art, particularly in this era of second wave feminism, in which these works were produced in the context of?
I think it was central. I think that performance in particular was absolutely critical to how women artists were, yeah, challenging stereotypes. There's this, you know, you think of walking into a kind of a museum with, I don't know, Renaissance paintings. I mean, everyone's used to seeing that kind of static nude female in art. But what happens when that body starts to move, and what happens when that body perhaps isn't conforming to an idealized view of what a female body should be? And yeah, what if that body is doing something I don't know, doing something, you know, that's active or that's kind of controversial, or that's also doing something for themselves. You know, it's this sense of empowerment, and it's also kind of removing that kind of sexualized idea of a naked body as well. So performance was really key and a key strategy. And yeah, kind of breaking up imageries of bodies as well, or, you know, like humor was a big strategy, and, you know, using irony to kind of say, well, yeah, you might think this, but actually let's, you know, there's lots of different ways, but I think performance was really key, and video was crucial in documenting that performance, but also video as a medium that, yeah, that has a legacy to it, that, yeah, captures moving image, has sound, and yeah, I think also an important part of video is that you can see yourself in it, or you can kind of relate to it really well. So it becomes this kind of moving, yeah, this kind of moving kind of memory or assemblage that's not kind of static and held in time.
You mentioned the relatability of it as a medium, which I think like is a nice kind of segue into my next question. What insight do you think we have as viewers looking at these works now with a contemporary perspective?
Oh, it's hard for me to answer that because I think everyone interprets the work differently. I mean, already we've had comments saying, oh, it's so amazing to see these works here in Aotearoa, you know, they're so influential. So, I mean, I think looking at them now, I mean, I suppose if you're an artist and you're working in performance or video, then people working now might be using, you know, much kind of more contemporary technology, whereas back then it was pretty raw, you know? Yeah. So we've had to show these works on these really old school CRT monitors, these kind of old cube square monitors, because that's a format for which they were made to show on, which are really difficult to get, actually, especially ones at work. So actually, you know, even viewing the work, you're sitting on a chair looking at these old cube monitors with headphones on, you know, so you're already watching it in a way that perhaps isn't so familiar. You know, you're not watching, you know, some of the videos are quite long, and, you know, that represents that kind of durational performance that some of these artists were doing. Others, you know, have sound or music to them, or, you know, they might have kind of, you know, a lot of them are black and white, for example. So already it feels like they're of a time. They're of a time when these artists were working in a particular way that's different to how many artists are working today. Yeah, I mean, I just hope that people come and see it and, you know, come with an open mind and, you know, spend time with the work. I think just thinking about, you know, I suppose watching kind of videos now, and we see things pop up on our phone, everything's so fast paced, whereas actually I think it's nice to have a show where you might want to kind of linger with the work and maybe watch a video a few times and kind of really think about the context that these artists were working in and what their challenges were, but also how it connects to now. I mean, identity politics, gender politics, intersectionality, race, these are all class, these are all critical things that, you know, are still very prescient and very important, and there's lots of challenges, and yeah, there's still lots of stigma. And yeah, so I think, you know, looking at these works and kind of connecting them to present day actually can hopefully help people really think about how we interact and how divisive perhaps identity politics has become, and how perhaps, you know, one of the great things that kind of that joined kind of, you know, feminism and feminist art was that sense of community and actually striving towards equality. So it's not about divisions. It's actually about coming together and really empowering ourselves. So, yeah, hopefully people can come along and take away something meaningful from the exhibition.
That was curator of contemporary art at Gus Fisher Gallery, Lisa Beauchamp, speaking to me about Having It All, 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 an exhibition on now at Gus Fisher Gallery until the 10th of May.